Welcome to the Journey Churches podcast. Here's a message from our pastor, Eric Reed. For more information, check us out at tjclive.com.
Trust in the Lord with all your heart, and do not lean on your own understanding. In all your ways, acknowledge him, and he will make straight your paths. This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. You can be seated. The last 3 weeks, we've been talking about these two verses in detail, where we are exhorted to trust in the Lord with all of our hearts. And we've said over and over again that that's not something we can just flip on like a light switch. That's not something that we can just muster up by the sheer force of our will. It's something that must be cultivated. You grow in trust in the Lord as you grow in relationship with the Lord. As you come to acknowledge him and have fellowship with him through the word, in prayer, through corporate gathering and church community like this, as you grow in the knowledge of who he is and in fellowship with him, your trust in him grows. It's a byproduct. So what is the enemy of our growing our trust in the Lord? What's the enemy or the antithesis of trusting in the Lord and growing in your trust in the Lord? It's leaning on your own understanding. Leaning on your own understanding is the antithesis of trusting the Lord, and that's the focus of today's sermon. Have you ever noticed that we as humans are storytellers? You ever notice how central that is to who we are? We're storytellers. It's one thing that separates us above all things from the animal kingdom. Yes, we're rational and we're logical, and not all the animal kingdom is that way. But at the heart of what we are story-driven people. And it's not that just that we can communicate. I mean, lots of other creatures in the animal kingdom can communicate in different ways. But what they don't do is tell stories. We tell stories to each other. It's intrinsic to who we are. But even deeper than telling stories to each other, listen, what is intrinsic to who we are is that we're always telling stories to ourselves. Do you understand what I mean by that? We fill the gaps of information that we lack in with stories. When we are engaged in life and we lack info or knowledge or data, what we do automatically without even having to think about it is we interpret those things through the stories we tell ourselves. We fill the blanks in all on our own. We say things like, well, you know, the reason that I wasn't asked to help is because nobody likes me. Of course I'm not married yet. People don't think I'm pretty. They think I'm a loser, on and on. He hasn't answered my text because he's probably doing something he shouldn't be doing. My chest hurts when I move it a certain way. It's probably cancer. It doesn't matter if I pray, nothing's going to change. There's no use of looking elsewhere. I'll never find a better job. The reason we haven't had kids yet is because God is punishing us for our past. What's the use of opening up and risking myself to hurt? Can't trust people. She's never going to change, so I might as well just get used to living miserable. I could keep going on and on and on and on. These stories sound familiar to some of you. And if I didn't hit the story that you tell yourself, I could keep going until I do. Because what we're all really good at doing is telling stories about what reality is. And this is why it's so important that we understand this about ourselves. Because the stories we tell ourselves aren't just They don't just live there and then dissolve. They have an effect on our emotions. The stories we tell ourselves have an impact on our emotional lives. In fact, I would argue they dictate your emotional life. The story you begin to tell yourself actually affects your heart. It affects how you see God. It affects how you see yourself. It affects how you see others. It drastically shapes everything about you, including your hope and your peace. The stories you tell yourself have massive impacts. And our minds are really good and really capable of constructing elaborate stories and scenarios of things that haven't happened yet that then have real world impact on our emotions in that moment. I remember as a young boy having a hard time sleeping at night because I was convinced that someone was about to break into our house and get us every night. Every night. I would lay in bed and I would hear noises outside. And immediately my brain started filling in the gaps of what that noise was with elaborate stories of all these bad guys assembling in the driveway, ready to bust through the windows and doors to take down our unsuspecting, unprepared family. And I could even hear my mom and dad in the other room talking to each other, watching TV, and yet in my mind's eye, like I would literally get up out of bed. I'd put my ear to the window. I would look out even though it was pitch black. I would look out in the hallway to see, is my dad hearing any of this? Every night I wrestled with this. I was always afraid someone was going to come in to our demise. Now, spoiler alert, it didn't happen. Nobody was ever plotting to kill us and get us. But it was the byproduct of a young boy's imagination and fears. But what's interesting is that as I've grown older, my propensity for creating these stories hasn't gone away. It's just changed content. My propensity for telling stories to fill in the gaps where I lack information hasn't stopped. So perhaps now I'll tell myself a story about, why did that person say that the way that they did? Or why does this person want to meet with me? And then I'm capable of filling the gaps in with a story that may not be accurate at all. It may have no basis in the truth at all, but I have the capacity to let it profoundly affect my emotions. Am I preaching to myself alone here? Okay, thank you. At least make me feel better. My first panic attack was induced like this. We were months removed from Caleb's kidneys being taken out, and I was driving down the interstate, and I was approaching a curve that was fairly sharp for being a 70 miles per hour road. And as I'm taking the curve, as I'm approaching the curve and I'm turning my wheel, for whatever reason in my mind, I started telling a story to myself. I said, well, I wonder what would happen if the wheel didn't turn. And I just careened off the road into the ditch and had a wreck. And then what if the wreck caused me to be paralyzed and in a coma? But what if in the coma I was conscious and could hear everyone, but I couldn't communicate that I could hear them? And as I'm going down this story in my brain, I've already passed the curve half a mile ago. I've already navigated the curve. It's gone. But I find my heart rate starting to go. And before you know it, I'm in a cold sweat and I'm pulling over on the side of the road, having what would be the first of many panic attacks for the next 7 years. All of it created and produced by telling myself a story about something that hadn't even happened. This, friends, is one of the key battles for learning to trust God. We must deal with the stories that we allow to play out in our heads. 2 Corinthians 10:5 says, we destroy arguments and every lofty opinion raised against the knowledge of God and take every thought captive to obey Christ. Now, what is Paul talking about? He says, destroy arguments and every lofty opinion raised against the knowledge of God. Let me tell you, this has got multiple facets of application that could be applied to our culture and our life. But here's where I want to kind of drill in. This includes the lies and the false stories that we tell ourselves. When we tell stories to ourselves that imply that our lives are left to fate or to chance, that is a story raised up against the knowledge of God because it's not true. That opinion is raised up against the knowledge of God and it needs to be destroyed. That's what he says. We destroy arguments. We need to destroy the false stories. and put them to death. And then notice what he goes on to say. He says, we take every thought captive to obey Christ. Now, what does it mean to take something captive? What does it mean for something to be captive? It means to imprison it. It means to stop it and to capture it in a way where it can't leave or escape or do any more damage. You stop it from escaping. We're instructed to take our thoughts captive. What does that mean, to take our thoughts captive? It means we need to learn to examine the thoughts and the stories that we're letting run through our heads, he says, so that we ensure that they are obedient to Christ. So that we're ensuring that they're telling the truth according to what Christ has revealed in his word. Take every thought captive so that it can be in obedience to Christ. Why? Why should we do that? Because if you don't, one thought can give birth to a series of thoughts that begin to actually have a real life impact on your heart. And most of the time, negatively. Our thoughts can run wild before we even recognize what we're doing. I'll talk for me. I'm really capable of being 3 miles down the road with my thoughts before I even realize, whoa, how did I get here? How did I get here? Right? My heart rate's going. I'm mad about something only because I've just been sitting there staring off into space for a few minutes. And my mind has crafted a movie that I'm now watching. I wrote it. I produce it. I direct it. I'm the lead actor in it. And all of it's terrible. All of it's bad. It's always a horror flick. Maybe you can relate to that. Before you know it, your thoughts act like a series of dominoes that start tipping over rapidly. This thought gives birth to this thought, to this thought. And here's the deal. If the first thought wasn't obedient to Christ, guess what the rest of the thoughts are going to be? Right in line with that. You're going to start constructing these awful negative stories. We're black belts at it. We've got our PhDs in constructing awful stories. Every one of us. And here's what those thoughts do. Those thoughts send us into a tailspin of fear and worry and despair. This is where anxiousness and depression find their source of energy. This is where they get fuel. This is the kindling. It's what you think. That's why Paul says, take every thought captive so you can put it in obedience to Christ. I've got a diagram here that I've had made that I want to walk you through to show you this. You'll look on the screen here. So what does it look like to lean on our own understanding? The reason I've got a tree here is I want you to think about that tree as your life, okay? The tree of your life. And you notice that tree has roots. And roots go into the soil. Roots are often unseen, right? But the health of the root will determine the what? The fruit. The health of the root determines the fruit. If the root's rotten, the fruit's rotten. If the root's good, the fruit will be good. So what you have your roots in will determine what's budding from your life. So what kind of roots, what kind of soil do the roots of our life do when we're leaning on our own understanding? Well, take a look. There's some of the things that I said earlier. And you could fill the blank in with lots of things. So we say things like, yeah, you know, I'm not married because of this, right? The reason I don't get asked to do anything is because of this. Nobody likes me. Nobody wants to be around me. They think this about me. The reason we don't have kids is because God's punishing us. I did that thing back in the day, and he's letting me really have it now. And the stories that we tell ourselves in the soil that we're letting our roots get down into and believe, it produces real life fruit in the trees of our lives. Despair. We become skeptical of people. We find our hearts are anxious. Fear, low self-esteem, worry, depression. Gang, in other words, a lot of you, the reason you experience those fruits is because of where your roots are. The reason some of you are ate up and riddled with anxiety and depression. The reason your self-esteem is so low. is because the story you're constantly telling yourself are things not true according to God's word. Your thoughts matter. Your thoughts do things. That's why Paul says you must take every thought captive in obedience to Christ. You have to stop it. You have to imprison it. You have to cut it off where it is, because if you don't, it will bear much fruit. It will bear much fruit. Now, let me give you the opposite of this, right? We don't want to be people known by leaning on our own understanding. We want to be people who are trusting the Lord. So what do, right? We take our thoughts captive. When we see that they don't obey the truth of God's word, we take them captive in obedience to Christ, as we just said. If we've let our thoughts go down the road, the wrong direction, and we notice it, what do then? We stop it, and we say, nope, can't go there, not going there, that hasn't happened, I'm not going to preach that to myself, and you begin to replace those thoughts. Catch this, this is massive that you catch this. You don't just say, stop thinking those bad thoughts, me. Because you can't just not think anything. So you don't just say, stop thinking, you replace your thinking. The Bible calls this putting off and putting on. Put it off and put on. Stop thinking this, begin thinking this. Quit preaching this story to yourself and change the story. We've been talking about this the last 2 weeks. Every time I give those examples of when you get that doctor's call or when that relationship is struggling, notice what I was doing. I was preaching the story that you need to be preaching to yourself about the sovereignty and wisdom and love and faithfulness of God. Notice this diagram. What does it look like to acknowledge Him in all your ways, to acknowledge Him? Well, look at where your roots are. What have we talked about the last several weeks? You remind yourself that God is in control and has your life. And that everything that He purposes to do is always filtered through His wisdom of knowing what's best, knowing what will bring your flourishing, and it's always directed out of His love for you particularly. What is the faithfulness of God? Remember what we said. The faithfulness of God reminds us that whatever in His wisdom He allows to come to pass, even when it hurts, even when it's hard, He's faithful to His promises. In other words, He gives us the tools to sustain us, to keep us, to help us, to strengthen us. So what do? When you're preaching the bad thoughts, the wrong story to yourself, you have to take it captive, you stop, and you begin to preach the truth. No, I know the truth. God is sovereign. God is in control. He is wise. If He permits it, He'll sustain me. He loves me. He's for us. He's not forgotten us. And here's what begins to blossom from the life who actually lives like that and tells that story to themselves. What have we been talking about this entire series? Trust. Trust in the Lord. Comfort and peace in the midst of trouble. Comfort and peace in the midst of afflictions. Contentment. I mean, look at those fruits. Look at those fruits and ask yourself, between those two trees, which one does your life reflect the most of? Is it contentment? Peace? Is it trust? Or is it anxiousness and despair and depression and fear and worry that riddles your life? Look at the fruit and examine the root. If you want to change the fruit, change the root. And the way you change the root is you work through the story that you tell yourself. Listen, this plays out in our lives continuously. This is a day-by-day thing. This is not a light switch. This is not on Sunday today. Go ahead and get it. Just flip it on and you'll be good. This is daily, ongoing. You can have a stray, destructive thought come anytime, regardless of how mature in the faith you are. I don't care who you are and how long you've walked with Jesus. It doesn't take but a split second for one thought to get in there. And if you don't take it captive, guess what? You're capable of constructing all the stories that start producing worry and fear and things in your life. You begin to fret. You begin to question. What do? You change the story. Now catch this. Please hear this. Changing the story doesn't necessarily mean it will change your circumstances. If you don't catch this, you're not going to hear anything today. Just because you change the story that you're telling yourself doesn't mean your circumstances will change. Let me give you an example of this. Let's say the company you work for is supposed to be laying off people in the coming months. That's a real life thing that happens, doesn't it? And immediately you begin playing out all these scenarios about why you're going to be one of them. And you begin to think about it, and as your mind goes there, the next thing you're starting to envision is the financial struggle that's coming. And then from there, you start thinking about your inability to pay your mortgage. And after your mind goes there, you start thinking about the embarrassing conversation with your parents and in-laws you're going to borrow money. And before you know it, you're tore up, and you don't even have a clue if you're going to be let go or not. You're fearful, you're upset, you're worried, you're scared, and all of it started because you thought, it's going to be me, we're going to struggle, I won't be able to pay the mortgage, I'm going to go have to have a conversation with my in-laws and say, we can't pay our bills, will you give us money? And now my heart's responding to that. What do you do with that? Well, first off, you should have taken the thought captive the moment you told yourself, I'm going to be one of them. Because you don't know that. You should have immediately reminded yourself that God holds your future because he's sovereign. And if in his wisdom and love, he determined you were going to be one of them, what do you remind yourself of? That he's faithful, he will provide for you, he will keep you, he will sustain you, that he must have different plans for you than you staying there. And you go, I trust you. I trust that if this comes about for me, then you are bringing it to pass because you have a reason. That doesn't mean you can't preemptively be thinking about other jobs you could take. It doesn't mean you don't update your resume. Trusting God doesn't equal being passive or lazy. You don't have to be like, well, you know, I trust God. Trust God and then do the things he told you to do. Right? Be diligent. Work hard. But it means you're not going to let your mind tell you a story of despair about all these things that are going to happen and get you worked up when none of those things have even happened yet. That's what it means you're not going to do. You need to get to a place, listen, where even it's happening doesn't scare you because you completely trust God. Is this hitting home? Can a brother at least get an amen? Guys, this is real life. This is rubber meets the road. Live out your faith. Don't just talk about it on Sunday stuff. This is the walk of faith right here. This is it. This is it. You want to know what it means to trust God? This is it. In the day-to-day grind of life. When things are introduced to you and you don't control them, where do you let your mind go? What stories do you tell yourself? Leaning on your own understanding looks like filling in the story with all these things that then produce real life fruit. And that's where most Christians live. How do we get to that place where we completely trust God? Well, we have to learn how to take thoughts captive, as I said. And we have to learn to preach to ourselves the truth about who God is and what he has said he will do. There's something else we need to do. Luke 21, verses 10 through 15. Listen to this. I love this. This is such a challenge to me. It says, then he, Jesus, said to them. Jesus, is talking directly to his disciples. Listen to what he says. Nation will rise against nation and kingdom against kingdom. There will be great earthquakes in various places, famines and pestilences, and there will be terrors and great signs from heaven. But before all this, they will lay their hands on you and persecute you, delivering you up to the synagogues and prisons, and you will be brought before kings and governors for my name's sake. Oh, that sounds delightful, Lord. Tell us more. Right? I mean, he's just laying the hammer. Like, get ready. It's coming. The nations are going to come for you. The governors and kings are going to drag you before them. Watch what he goes on to say. this will be your opportunity to bear witness. Settle it therefore in your minds not to meditate beforehand how to answer. For I will give you a mouth and wisdom which none of your adversaries will be able to withstand or contradict. Now, catch this. There's one major thought that I want you to get from this and to capture from it. After telling his disciples that trouble is coming, real trouble, personal persecution is heading their way, front door, on their doorstep. And this is what he says. Settle it in your minds not to meditate beforehand on how you're going to answer it. Instead, trust that I'm going to give you a mouth of wisdom that none of your adversaries will be able to withstand or contradict. Let me drill it even further. Catch this. Settle it in your minds. Hear those words. Settle it in your minds. Jesus tells them that trouble is coming, but he tells them he will provide them what they need when it comes. So what does he say for them to do? He instructs them to settle it in their minds now so that they don't have to worry with preparing their responses to the threats of the authorities. In other words, he says, settle it in your minds now to trust God to provide what you need then. Get it right up here now before it happens. Now before it comes to pass. Now before any of this becomes reality, so that when it comes, you're not undone. You're standing firm. You're holding the line. Settle it now before it comes, so when it comes, you can simply trust him. How is this applicable to us? Because there's things we need to settle in our minds, all of us, now. You're going to lose people you love dearly in this life. Settle it now in your minds that Christ will support you in your grief when it comes. Your health is eventually going to give way, and your own life will soon pass. Settle it now in your minds that you will rely on Christ to be your strength and your help. You will experience unexpected changes in life that you don't control. You're going to lose a job. You're going to have a drop in income. You're going to have relationship troubles. You're going to have cultural pressures to conform. You must settle it all in your minds now before these things happen. That Christ will provide for you what you need when it comes. That's a part of trusting him. A part of trusting him isn't just taking the thoughts captive and preaching the truth to ourselves. It's settling it in our minds right now. That we're going to trust him to be all that he said he will be, to provide all that he said he will provide when the time comes, when the trial comes, when the affliction comes. Don't leave your future decisions up to a moment's notice. Don't do it. Decide now that you will be faithful in advance of trials or temptations or troubles. Settle it now in your minds that you're going to trust God instead of leaning on your own understanding. Settle it now. Some of you, that means you need to do business with God now. Settle it now. That whatever comes to your life in the next week, the next month, the next year, the next 5 years, that you've settled it now, that you're going to walk in trust of him. I had worked through these ideas for several years and had learned to apply them to the point where my anxiety was gone. I had been dealing with panic attacks, and I was several years removed from my last one. Had 7 years worth of panic attacks. Worked through these things, really dove into these things, and had been going years without them. And then in the fall of 2017, Caleb had a stroke and had been unconscious for 3 weeks. And we were in this place where we had no idea what was going to happen. We had no idea what was next. We had no idea if he would always be in the stroke, always be in a coma, if he would always be unconscious. We didn't know if he would die in the next week. We didn't know if he would recover and be everything he was beforehand or some version in between. We knew nothing. I remember one night distinctly in the ICU. Everyone had left. And it was just me and Caleb. And the ICU can be a lonely place at night. And he hadn't woken up yet. And before I laid down, I'd fixed my little hospital bed, you know, put my sheet on, pillow on. And I remember just sitting there, and for whatever reason, my mind started going. My mind started running. And I began to concoct all these scenarios of what was going to happen and what our life was going to look like. And as I'm doing that, I can begin to feel my heart rate increase. And all of a sudden, I caught myself. All of a sudden, I realized what I was doing. And I stopped. I stopped right there on the spot. And I said, no, Lord, please help me. Help me. And I began to pray the truth of what I knew to be true. I literally began to pray, Lord, I know you have his life. I know you hold him. I know you have me. I know in your infinite wisdom, Lord, all of this is according to your plan, and you are working even if I don't see it. And even if the worst scenario happens, it will always be from your wisdom. And you love us, and you will walk with us, and you're faithful to sustain us regardless of the outcome. We can do all things through Christ who gives us strength. Your grace will be sufficient for us. I believe you. I believe you. My heart rate slowed. I turned a movie on. I laid my head down. And I went to bed. And I can tell you now, over 3 years later, and after my son's passing, that he has sustained us through it. And he has provided everything we've needed. And kept us. And held us and strengthened us through it all. He has been faithful to all his promises. He's kept them. Trusting in him didn't mean my circumstances became what I would have scripted them. Trust in the Lord says, regardless of outcome, I trust you. Regardless of outcome, I believe you. I had settled it in my mind years ago, but I had to fight it in real time that night in the ICU. I had settled it in my mind years before, but I had to fight it that night in the ICU. That's where you have to live it too. You've got to settle it in your mind now, but then you have to live it out in the real day-to-day of living. When your mind starts going down the road, and before you know it, it's 5 miles into a thought line that's got you tore up, scared, insecure, worried, fearful. That's why trusting the Lord with all your heart and leaning not on your own understanding, but in all your ways acknowledging him is a day-by-day thing. It's one day at a time. It's one day at a time. It's never completed. You never check it off the list. It's ongoing. It's a relationship. It's a walk. And it's not easy. But it's the only way that your hearts can ever be at peace in a world of unrest. Trust in the Lord with all your heart. And do not lean on your own understanding. Leaning on your own understanding isn't just our attempts to comprehend what's going on or to comprehend why it's going on. It's not just our attempts to grasp how God's at work in a circumstance and connecting the dots of how he's bringing good from it. It's not just that. It is that. But it's also the stories we tell ourselves about what's going on. The stories that we fill the gaps in with is one of the massive ways that we daily lean on our own understanding. You're always telling yourself a story. In every circumstance, you're always filling the gap in with a story. Are your stories leaning on your own understanding? Or are they telling the truth as revealed in God's word? You have to learn to take these thoughts captive when you find them and stop them in their tracks and preach to yourself the better story, the true story. If you are in Christ this morning, you're an adopted child of God, and there's not a greater story than that. You're forgiven of your sin. You're loved greatly. He's sovereign over your life. He determined to form you. He determined that there would be a you, and he chose the course of your life. And you may have chose different if you were the one with the power and the wisdom, but he reminds us over and over again that he is the one with infinite wisdom and knowledge. He knows what's best, and he is committed to bringing flourishing to his people in the way that he knows best. And he loves you with a particular love. It's never abstract. It's never a sea of faces. It's never detached from his personal commitment to be our God and for us to be his people. It's always rooted and anchored in that. And because of that, he's faithful to the promises that he gives his people. Promises that we can cling to in the midst of uncertainties and pains in this life. When we face the reality of our lack of control, when we fret or fear, we can trust the one who is sovereign and wise and faithful and who loves us and calls us his own. Each of us here, if we are in Christ, must learn to tell the right story to ourselves. And we must learn to take captive the ones that threaten to steal away our peace and trust in the Lord. So here's what I want to do this morning. I want to do something a little different. Before we move into communion, I just want to open up some space for prayer. Maybe you need to pray with someone. Maybe you want to come down front and just pray. Maybe you just want to be in your seat and pray. Here's what I know. There's a lot of stories that a lot of you have been telling yourself for a lot of years that have produced a lot of hurt and pain and despair and worry and sorrow. Some of you, anxiety and depression mark your life and have for years. For some of you, constant, incessant worry about things you don't control plague you. They steal your joy. They steal your peace. You've been leaning on your own understanding for a long time. And you can never learn to trust the Lord as long as you do that. We would love to pray with you. We would love for you to come maybe and just humble yourself and bow before the Lord in prayer. Maybe there's somebody you know who's riddled with these things. Maybe you need to intercede on their behalf. We have a nation that's desperate for the truth of the gospel to ring out. Maybe you want to come and pray for our country this morning. Pray for our nation. I can promise you, winning the next election isn't going to make our country better. The church rising up and being the church, and for God to be God, that's what will make our country better. Maybe we ought to petition the Lord on behalf of our nation this morning. I'm just going to open this time up. I'm going to ask some of our leaders to be up front to pray. I'm just going to give some space for you to pray in your seats with someone down front. If you're in the balcony, if you want to come down, you can. If you're in the balcony, if there's somebody up there who wants to pray with people in the balcony, you can do that. We're just going to make some space. Maybe there's something the Holy Spirit has been impressing upon your heart all morning, and it has nothing to do with anything I talked about, because the Lord can do that. Maybe he's been launching something into your heart about a sin issue, or maybe about some fear of your health. I don't know what it is, but maybe you do. We're just going to make some space for prayer. I'm going to ask that they'll turn the lights down just a little bit. And I'm going to give you just a few minutes. Move if you need to. Pray wherever you are. And I'll wrap us up in prayer in just a moment. Let's respond to his word this morning. Let's let his word penetrate our hearts. Move us to obedience. Ask the Lord to set you free from the bondage of leaning on your own understanding, to break those chains. May the enemy be cast down today, who wants to enslave us. Call upon the Lord. Come to the Lord. Ask him to help you to trust him today. Confess your sin today. Confess your tendency to lean on your own understanding. Confess your tendency to tell the worst possible stories. Some of your marriages are struggling because of the stories you tell yourself about each other. Repent. Some of you have a view of yourself that is so ungodly because you think the worst about yourself. You tell yourself awful stories about your worth and your value, about how God sees you. Repent. Preach the real story today. Some of you live paralyzed by fear of what you don't know. Ask the Lord to help you to live in peace because he holds all things in his hands, including you. Ask him to liberate you from that fear, to trust him. Oh, God, we need you. God, we need you. We're not here to play games today. We are in your presence even now. We declare you are holy. You are good. You are our Father. Because of the finished work of Jesus, we are your children and you love us. Oh, how slow we are to remind ourselves. We are not left to fate. We're not left to chance. Our lives are in your hands and your plan is always good. And we don't have to understand it to put our trust in you. We don't have to get it to depend on you. Close the gap, Lord, between where we stand and our full throttle trust in you. Help us to quit preaching these false stories. All of us are preachers, but we're not really good at telling the truth all the time. I pray that you'll use something said today, something from your word today, something that was seen today, that it would click, that we would learn to take thoughts captive and preach the truth to ourselves. Lord, there's some people today that need to settle it in their minds now for what's going to happen a year from now. They need to settle it in their minds now that they're going to stand firm and trust you. Even if the worst comes, they're going to trust you. They're determined now not to wait until then. Holy Spirit, you're the only one that can work this in our hearts. Would you be pleased to minister to us today? Would you be pleased to do a work in us today? Lord, your word is true. Help us to walk in it. Lord, you are faithful to the end. Help us to depend on you. Help us to lean on one another and not do it in isolation. Lord, help us to be encouragers to one another, to spur one another on in this walk of faith. That's why we need each other. That's why we come together weekly. It's why we gather in community. It's why we do this, Lord. We need to help. We need to help others to preach the truth to themselves, and we need others to preach it to us. Lord, do something. Do something beyond our ability to do it ourselves. We ask and we pray all of this, Jesus. In your name, the name above all names, the name, the only name under heaven by which we can be saved, the name that sends demons to flee, the name that girds our strength, the name in which we are more than conquerors, the name of Jesus, our Savior, our Lord.